Is your conscience accusing you or excusing you? Here's Bible teacher Mike McIntosh with a comment from our studies in Proverbs.
How many times the devil leads us daily into temptation and we take it because our conscience is no longer accusing us or excusing us. It is just blasé, lukewarm, and neutral. And I happen to just be a Christian in a messed up world, and I'm partly like them, and I'm a little bit like him. Lord, don't deliver us to these places. Deliver us out of these places and situations that your power and love can use us to be an Esther, to be a Noah, to be a Moses, to be an Elijah, to be an Enoch, that we could help deliver those who are on their way to death.
And I'll stand up and shout.
This is Chapter and Verse Radio, where we're presenting a weekly survey of the book of Proverbs. It's no mere cliche to say that when God is on your side, you have an automatic majority. Regardless how insurmountable the obstacle seems, God is sovereign. And remember, He always keeps His promises, as we'll be reminded today in the course of our teaching that comes with the title, God is Our Deliverer. Now let's turn to the book of Proverbs 24 as we present part two of the message with our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
These young women are promised jobs, leave the jungles, leave the village, come to Bangkok and get a job and an education. They jam a needle in their arm, they're addicted to heroin, they're on the streets, and their life is destroyed. 40 to 50% of all men in Cambodia and Thailand, whether single or married, pay for commercial sex. Over one-third of all prostitutes in South Asia and East Asia are children. More than 17,500 kids per year are being trafficked in the United States of America, according to our Central Intelligence Agency. Right here in our own country, being used as sex toys for perverts. The United Nations reported in India an estimated 40% of prostitutes were below 18 years of age. And isn't it interesting that in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, there is this mighty power that all the kings of the earth and the merchants of the world did business with and traded power with. It is a country that's surrounded by oceans, it says, because when in 1 hour destruction comes as fire and brimstone falls out of the sky and all over this country is on fire and the pollution from whatever is struck, it says that the merchants of the world will weep and wail and mourn, and the captains of the ships will not come to shore because of the torment. And do you know what one of the crimes that God held this group of people guilty of? Trafficking in souls. Slavery. Human slavery. You can't tell me that these nude bars aren't women in slavery. I know a beautiful young Christian woman that's trying to get away from organized crime, and she ended up, because of her husband who was a jerk, and she ended up into drugs and the strip joints of San Diego, and now her life is over, her beauty is gone, her body isn't what it used to be, and she is trapped. And she has stood here many Sundays and wept. And she used to babysit our children. And I see this beautiful 17-year-old who's now in her 40s, and she has been ripped off. It's all around here. All the smut that men go and look at and women look at are people that have been brought into slavery to pose and to do those things. Their conscience has been seared. In the year 2007, slave traders made 8 times the amount of money of the annual United Nations budget. 8 times more than the UN uses to, quote-unquote, save countries from their problems. Every 10 minutes, a child is trafficked in the United States as forced labor. Abraham Lincoln lost his life for taking this proverb 24, 11, and 12 to heart. He took it. If you forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto earth, he is a Bible man. And those that are ready to be slain, if you say, behold, we didn't know it. And Abraham Lincoln knew it. The slave traders knew it. Does not he that ponders the heart think about it? And he that keeps your soul, doesn't he know what you're not doing? And shall not he render to every man according to his own works? Yes, as he closes out his Proverbs before he starts talking in the 31st chapter about a virtuous, godly woman, open your mouth for those that can't speak for themselves. Yes, find something today in the cause of all who are appointed to die and open your mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor. What about your dad that's an alcoholic? Have you ever gone to him and showed him that he could have deliverance? Maybe he's demon-possessed, and you need to pray that he would be set free. Think of all the multitudes, the literally tens of thousands of people that this audience alone has interaction with, that if you could just be the Moses, the Noah, the Elijah, that you'd say, look, I know you're struggling, but this is totally wrong what you're involved in, and I know there's someone that can actually help you. Abraham Lincoln said, if slavery is not wrong, then nothing is wrong. If aborting babies is not wrong, then nothing is wrong. You can go on down the list, can't you? Edmund Burke, who is a great philosophical thinker, said, all that is needed for the triumph of evil is that good men and women do nothing. In our country, we have become a group of men and women that are good for nothing. Our conscience looks at Sex in the City and says, oh, that's so cute. Let's give them an Oscar. Let's put them on stage. Let's glorify Desperate Housewives. Let's promote Orange County women. Let's show decadence. Let's let MTV talk about what they want to talk about. Let's let all this go on and train the children outside the home off the television that it's okay for girls to fondle girls and men to fondle men. Let's take control of the schools and say there are two male penguins and they can't have a baby, and so they have somebody give them one of their baby penguins so that they can be a family. It's in your school district. And yet our conscience is so hard. It no longer weeps. It no longer cries. It's no longer touched by anything. It says, whoa, and I'm a Christian. Praise the Lord. And then when God says, I need you and I need your help, we're not there for him. No, he ponders. He weighs and balances our heart. And if we forbear, like Mordecai was saying to his beautiful niece, who knows whether thou art not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. One of the greatest murderers and hater of human life, and probably had a million demons in him, was Joseph Stalin. And Joseph Stalin said, a single death is a tragedy. A million deaths is nothing but a statistic. And our world is full of leaders that could care less about you or your little boys or your little girls. But God cares everything about you and your little boys and your little girls. How long has it been since you've had such a tender conscience? He said, oh, we can't watch that. Turn that off. Oh, what do we got that on for? No, we accept it. Oh, they're just taking off their clothes and they're not going to show everything. Come on, we want to get to the other part anyhow. And we justify it. And we go and we'll pluck down $12, $14 at a movie theater and go see some gross, filthy thing that nailed Jesus to a cross. But when an offering bag goes to reach out to your community, somebody else can do that. Maybe $4, maybe $3. No. The conscience, the conscience, the conscience. There's an estimated 27 million enslaved men, women, and children on the planet today. And last year, their traffickers pocketed a minimum of $32 billion, which was more profit than 499 of the Fortune 500 companies. And what are people saying? Now, it takes an unusual gifted amount of patience to know of bad things going on and to hold it back. Things that are horrible and filled with injustice, and you're not able to do anything about it. A lot of patience. Wow, a lot of things have patience. You know what you should do, but you don't do it. That's sin. Turn to Proverbs chapter 6, the 20th verse, as we've already studied this verse by verse, but it goes along with what Solomon is saying here to us, each one of us. Chapter 6, in the 20th verse, it says, my son, keep your father's commandments and don't forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck, and when you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you wake up, the word's going to speak to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, and to keep from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. Don't lust after her beauty. And the whole industry for women is make yourself lustful to men. Don't lust after her beauty in your heart. Nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is actually reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress would prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not get burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is the man who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. People don't despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's starving. Yet, when he is found, though they didn't despise him, when he's found, he must restore seven times what he stole. He may even have to give up all of his substance and of his house. But the man that commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. No, his conscience doesn't weep. He doesn't really love his wife or his children or the people he lives next door to or his co-workers. He's selfish and there's no understanding. He who does such a thing destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury, and therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not accept no recompense. He will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased through though you give him many gifts. No, that husband's going to just be furious forever. Now, I've talked to a lot of people in San Diego, lots of people, one-on-one and in large crowds. And there is one thing that I have found very interesting. Of all the times I have discussed with an adulterer or an adulteress of God's great forgiveness and love and how that God can heal and put the family back together, that even 20-some years later, many people that I have helped from many years ago, when I still see them for coffee or lunch or something, they always talk about the mistake they made. It is carved in their soul, even though they're forgiven. It is something that God is warning us about, and yet we exalt it in our media, and we accept it in our entertainment, and we see that is nothing but entertainment, and the devil has hardened the conscience. How sad that is. But whosoever commits adultery, it says in Proverbs 6:32, with a woman, he lacks understanding. The mind isn't there. The conscience isn't pricking him, accusing him. This is wrong. He that does it destroys his own soul, and a wound and a dishonor shall he get. Turn finally to John, the 8th chapter in the New Testament, the first verse. Because Jesus would have to agree with Solomon. And Jesus would want all of us to be healthy. And so, he tells us there are things that people are trapped in that you and I have the power to help them out of. But if we don't do it, we're sinning. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, circle that word early, it's a time frame. He got up early and he went and came again to the temple. And all the people came with him. So there's a crowd up early before work to go to the temple to worship God and to hear from Jesus. He sat down, noticed the position, and he taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Now remember, it's early morning. She's still in bed with this man. Caught her in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst of the crowd, they said to him, Teacher, which is master or rabbi, this woman, no other woman in the crowd we're talking about, this woman that we've thrown down here on the ground in the middle, would you circle the word caught? She was caught in adultery in the very act. These are perverts. They had to be watching to be able to say the very act. They were either at the store, at the door, hiding in the closet, under the bed. They didn't have a little small camera, or looking through the window. And also, how would these men know that this woman was an adulteress unless they knew the man that was having sex with her? And how would the man go in and have sex with this woman knowing that the religious leaders of the community are watching him? What kind of a guy is he? And it doesn't tell us the man's name, but I wonder if he's one of them, one of the religious leaders. And his conscience is so seared, so hard, he has no sensitivity. Their whole goal is to destroy Jesus and get him out of society that he can't change things for better because they want to control. She's caught in the very act. They watched her. They humiliated her. They were wicked to her. And then, in the very act, they bring up the law, religion. Moses in the law commanded us that such a person should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him. that they might have something of which to accuse him. But they couldn't. I wonder if we do the same thing sometimes. We test God. Well, I wonder if I can get it. Hey, that wasn't bad. I got away with that. Hey, I ignored that one. Hey, great. I don't have to get involved. I'll let somebody else do it. I thought last Saturday night we had Häagen-Dazs ice cream, free Häagen-Dazs, and I was standing backstage in the auditorium, and when they announced there's free Häagen-Dazs afterwards, the crowd went, whoa! And I thought, what if they did that when you said, we're going to take the offering now? Or we're going to worship now? Let's sing. Whoa, yes! You know, to know good and not to do it is sin. It's that simple. What do you say about this, Jesus? We should kill her. But Jesus stooped down and he wrote on the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear him. You can get the picture. Get out of here. He's concerned about you. He's concerned about the woman. He's not concerned about phonies and hypocrites that don't care about people. So when they continued to ask, come on, answer, answer. He raised himself up and he stood up. Now he's a carpenter. I bet he had some good Popeye arms. I bet he was able, if he wanted to just take a couple of noses off and a couple of teeth out. So what does he say? He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stoops down and he wrote on the ground. And this will be great to see in heaven what he wrote. Because then those who heard it began being convicted by their conscience. They went one by one, beginning with the oldest man to the youngest man. Some say, do you think Jesus wrote all the names of those men that had sex with the same woman sometime? Whoa. And from the youngest teenage boy to the oldest guy, they split. They didn't stand and say, oh, teach us. Oh, help us understand. Show us a better way to love. They left. They left. They didn't stand up for the woman and say, we're so terribly sorry that we set this whole thing up. They left. They were like a bunch of politicians. And yet that woman is standing there. Some say, do you think that Jesus wrote down their name and wrote at least one hidden sin in the heart of each man standing there? Whoa, how did he know that? Well, it says right there in the Proverbs, doesn't he who ponders your heart know what you know and what you don't know and what you do and what you're not doing? Yes, he is. And I think Jesus brought that verse to life. And then they left. And then Jesus said to her, would you circle this and put big stars beside it in your Bible? Woman. I don't think that this female had ever been called woman. But disgraced, humiliated, beat down, unloved, uncared for. And Jesus immediately gives this sinful person dignity, respect, and understanding and honor. Where are your accusers? Where are those that are accusing you? Has no one condemned you? They talked about throwing stones. Has no one condemned you? And she said, I think very meekly, no one, Lord? Are you the Lord? No one's loved me like this. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You get another chance. As a kid, I always liked the little thing you scribbled on. You pulled up the plastic and it erased it. I always thought that was great. Your sins are all over that thing and psh, they're gone. Yeah, they're gone. Now, in conclusion, we found that deliver is 296. Deliverance is 16 times, but 10 times the word deliverer is found. And nowhere more than in the Psalms by King David, who sinned so much that he said many times in the Psalms, for instance, Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I'll trust. God will deliver you from your problems, and he'll use you to help deliver other people from their problems. In Luke chapter 1, when Jesus is born and the story is unfolding about the Messiah coming, in verse 73 it says, the oath which God swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. A conscience so soft and tender that you would cry that you heard a child was hurting and you had money that you could help that child. Your conscience would be so seared that you're watching this on television and you're just sick of it. I mean, so tender, and you're just like, we can't watch this anymore. God, forgive us. And then we look at what he said. If you forbear to deliver the people that need your help and those that are ready to die, If you hold back and say, didn't know anything about it, God's pondering and weighing your heart, and He's considering it, and He's watching how you think and how you live. And He knows what you have that He has given you. Shall not He render to every man according to his work? And Jesus closed it off very well for us this morning. Matthew 6:13, the Sermon on the Mount, didn't He? And Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. How many times the devil leads us daily into temptation and we take it because our conscience is no longer accusing us or excusing us. It is just blasé, lukewarm, and neutral. And I happen to just be a Christian in a messed up world, and I'm partly like them, and I'm a little bit like him. Lord, don't deliver us to these places. Deliver us out of these places and situations, that your power and love can use us to be an Esther, to be a Noah, to be a Moses, to be an Elijah, to be an Enoch, that we could help deliver those who are on their way to death. Shall we stand and shall we pray? We are grateful, very, very grateful, Father. Tremendously grateful that you have given us a conscience. And many of us today would have to admit we've never wept one tear over the 50 million abortions, ever. We've never concerned ourselves about the heartache of the women that have had an abortion and the struggles that they go through. We've never concerned ourselves or given a penny to an organization that tries to help young women at all. Many of us would have to admit that we have friends and family members or alcoholics and drug addicts, and not once have we gone to them and said, let me show you a more excellent way. Or really, have we spent 60 minutes of our whole life praying for them? Because we don't care. We just are blasé. Oh God, today could you bring renewal and revival by touching our conscience and striking us today, that we would just be jolted, that there are so many injustices and wicked things going on, that we could be just like Leah, and we could stand up and say, well, I haven't got much money, and I do have some time, and I have a husband that loves me, and I know what it's like as a kid to go through pain, and I want to help kids. And then, God, you bring her support all around. So, Father, you have several thousand people coming on this campus today. And if each one of us just took 5 minutes to intercede for justice in an area that we read about or saw, or we take 5 cents out of our change bucket and do something, if we do anything, it begins to dawn on us that our lives are here for a purpose, just like Queen Esther. And that purpose is to love and help people. So bless us, convict us, and give us a clean slate to go forward. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, how many of you be honest? I'm just telling you, I've been really devastated in the last 2 weeks about the 50 million abortions. And my conscience just weeps, because what did I do? Maybe today you'd say, yes, my conscience isn't tender and I haven't cried a long time. And yes, my conscience doesn't worry about the problems. My conscience just lets me live mediocre and down the middle and not rock the boat. But today you want your conscience illuminated by the Word of God and the Holy Ghost. And you want to be an answer. And you want God to lift you into a place to be a deliverer for those that need deliverance. If that's your desire and prayer, would you just look up at us, and Brenton and I are going to pray for you today, all you people, and hold your hand up. That you'll be honest with yourself, that you aren't sensitive like you used to be. The world has gotten you. Some of you are reluctant to raise your hands. You're just barely raising them. But God, you see all these people and you understand. And so we would pray in Jesus' name that you would come upon us and renew our conscience and our heart, and that you would put fire in us, that we would be doing your kingdom, not talking about your kingdom, but we'd be doing it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
That's Mike McIntosh with part two of a study focusing on God is our deliverer. We'll rejoin our teaching in Proverbs on the next edition of CNV, so please make it a point to join us then. If you need to make some real steps to ordering your life according to God's principles and giving in to Him, let me suggest that you check in at MikeMcIntosh.com and click on the Know God link, where you'll find additional insight and resources there to help you. The address is MikeMcIntosh.com and look under Know God. And be sure to sign up for the United States Prayer Force while you're there. Now, before we end our time together, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this program only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So first and foremost, we do covet your prayers for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us a chapter and verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's chapter and verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. We hope that you'll join us next time on CNV when we'll continue our studies of the Book of Proverbs. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.